Good morning. Thank you very much for coming. And today's daf is daf Yud Gimel in Masechet Brachos. We saw the very famous Mishnah. It's famous to us because it's in the Haggadah. There was an argument whether the third paragraph of the Shema, Vayomer, which has mention of leaving Egypt, should be mentioned at night. Is the mitzvah of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim to mention leaving Egypt by day and by night? Or maybe it's only by day, and the reference of Kol Yemei Chayecha is to say that in the future we'll also mention that Hashem took us out of Egypt. So in the Gemara we had the Braiser, Belazar ben Azaria, said to the sages, how could you say that Kol Yemei Chayecha is a reference to in the future? We'll mention that Hashem took us out of Egypt. Don't we have a verse that in the future we'll only be talking about how Hashem took us out of the northern kingdoms, and not anymore that Hashem took us out of Egypt? The verse says, "Hinei yamim ba'imnu Hashem, behold, days are coming," says God. "V'lo yomru od chay Hashem asher he'alas b'nei Yisrael me'eretz Mitzrayim," and they're not going to say anymore. Is it on the thing?
Yeah.
Live Hashem, who has lifted us up, who's lifted the Jewish people out of the land of Egypt. Kiim, but rather, chay Hashem, live God. Asher Hela, who has lifted up, Vasher Havin, who has brought, as Zerah Beis Israel, the seed of the household of Israel, Meretz Tzofona, from the northern kingdom, Umikol Aratzos Asher Yidachtim Sham, from all the lands that I have pushed them away there. So you see that we're only going to be talking about the final redemption, not about leaving Egypt. So how can Kol Yemei Chayecha be utilized to say that in the future also we'll be talking about leaving Egypt? So the Gemara answers, that just means that primarily we'll be thanking God for the redemption from the northern kingdom, for the final redemption, but still secondarily, we will still be thanking God for having taken us out of Egypt. Similarly, we find with the change of Yaakov's name, Hashem says, your name will no longer be called Yaakov, but yet then, right afterwards, he is called Yaakov. So what does it mean? So starting for the first line here on Yud Gimel Amud Aleph, Lo she Yaakov, Yaakov mimkomo, not that the name Yaakov is uprooted from its place, El Yisrael Ikar, the main name is Yisrael, the Yaakov Tafelo, Yaakov is secondary to it. And now some other examples of this type of a dynamic, V'cheinu Omer, so too we find, again, these are all the Chachamim speaking, and the Chachamim are saying, just like with Yaakov and Yisrael, the name is primarily Yisrael, but still secondarily Yaakov, so too it'll be in the future. Primarily we'll be thanking God for redeeming us from the northern kingdoms, and secondarily, though, we will still be thanking God for taking us out of Egypt. We have another verse. The verse says, Al tizkeru rishonos, do not remember that which is first. V'kadmonios, and that which was earlier. Al tisbonanu, don't think about it anymore. Don't delve deeply into it, because you're focusing on the gift of now, of being saved now. So what does that mean? Al tizkeru rishonos, don't remember that which was first. Zeshibun Malchios. That's a reference to the affliction of various kingdoms like Bavel, Madai, and Yavan. Even Kadmonios al Tisbonanu, that which was earlier, don't delve deeply into it. Zeyetzias Mitzrayim, that's leaving Egypt. So it's saying don't delve deeply into it, al Tisbonanu. But you're still mentioning it a little bit. That means that in the future, you're not delving deeply into the fact that God took you out of Egypt, but you're still secondarily mentioning that God took you out of Egypt.
So when did the Jews leave? At nighttime or daytime?
That we saw before. That they left in the morning.
They left in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
Began in the morning.
The primary involvement in the future will be Hineni Osech Hadasha. Behold, I am doing new things. Ata titzmach. Now something is going to sprout. Tani Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef explained, what does Hineni Osech Hadasha mean? Zo Milchemes Gog Magog, the war of Gog Magog. That's going to be the primary thankfulness. It's going to be that Hashem saved us from the war of Gog Magog. But secondarily, we'll still be talking about leaving Egypt. Mashalama Davar Doma. What is this a parable to? Imagine a person walking on the road, and a wolf attacked him. Then he's saved from the wolf. So he's thankful. He walks by, tells people, you know what happened to me? A wolf attacked me. I just got out. Then a lion attacked him. And he was saved from the lion. So now anybody he meets, he tells him, you know what just happened to me? A lion attacked me. Pagabo nachash. Then if a snake attacks him, he needs some men and he's safe from the snake. Shachach ma'aseh shneim. He forgets about the wolf and he forgets about the lion. So too he talks about the hap that he was safe from the snake. Afkach. So too here. Yisrael with the Jewish people. Saros achronos. The later travails, namely Gog Magog. Mishakchos. The sarishonos cause us to forget that which was before. But that doesn't mean that there's no mention at all of being taken out of Egypt. There'll still be some mention of being taken out of Egypt, and that's what we learn from the fact that it says, "Kol Yemei Chayach." So now the Gemara talks about other situations where names get changed and something becomes primary and secondarily. We know that the Torah says that Hashem changed the name of Avram. His name was Avram. When Hashem told him to do the Bris Milah, it became Avraham. Hashem said to him, "V'lo yikare od es shimcha Avram. Your name will no longer be Avram, but rather shimcha. Your name is now v'haya shimcha Avraham." So again, according to the Chachamim, when there's a name change, it doesn't mean that the name change is absolute. B'tchila nasa avla Aram. The name change still means that secondarily you can use the name Avram, because Avram means father of Syria. Aram was the Hebrew name for Syria. So that's where Avram was from. He was from Syria, right? There was
Baruch, not from Paras.
He started in Syria, so he was Av Aram. So if you combine the two words Av Aram, it becomes Avram, because the Aleph is a silent letter. No, it wasn't. No, later David HaMelech conquered it, but in the days of Avram, not. So first he was Av Aram. And then Alvasof Nase Av Khalolam Kulo. Then he becomes the father to all the nations of the world. Av Hamon Goyim. That's he becomes Avraham. So therefore, according to this opinion, even when if someone's the father of all the nations, that means he's still the father of Syria. Because he started off as the father of Syria. So you can still refer to him as Avram. It's included in Avraham. Avram is the main name, but Avram is secondarily an appropriate name. Sarai. Then Hashem changed the name of Sarai to Sarah. He's Sarah. V'tchila na'ase Sarai l'umasa. Initially she was Sarai of her own nation, of her people. L'vasof. Then after the name change, she became Sarah l'chol olam kulo. She became Sarah to the entire world. So according to all these opinions so far, these are all these examples, I should say, so far. Avram becoming Avraham, Sarai becoming Sarah, Yaakov becoming Yisrael, the final redemption. All of it is that there's going to be something which will be the primary, final redemption, but there still will be the secondary. You'll still be able to have Avram, you'll still be able to use Sarai, you'll still be able to mention leaving Egypt. However, now we're going to have a dispute. Tani Bar Kapara. Bar Kapara disagrees. Bar Kapara told an Abraisa that no, once Hashem changed Avram's name to Avraham, you're not allowed to say the name Avram anymore. Kol HaKorei LaAvraham Avram. Anyone who calls Avraham Avram over Ba'aseh is violating a positive command. Shenemar, because it's God who's saying, V'hayashimcha Avram, your name will be Avraham. God is saying your name should be Avram, it shouldn't be Avram anymore. Rabbi Yehuda Omer over Balav. Not only does he violate a positive command, he violates a prohibition. Shenamar, because the Torah says, "V'lo yikare od shimcha Avram," and your name will not be called anymore Avram. Ella, so now me'ata, from now, hakori l'sara sarai. If someone calls Sarah Sarai, hachanami, is that also violating a prohibition? So the Gemara says, no. Hasam kachabrichu amar la'Avraham. Sarai ishtacha lo tikra shma sarai ki sarashma. There, Hashem was just telling Avram, you have to call her Sarah and not Sarai. But others could still call her Sarai. El Me'ata, now if you're going to say that whenever there's a name change, it's total. So then, Akor li Yaakov, Yaakov Achanami. So if somebody calls Yaakov, Yaakov, he's also violating an Aseh. He's violating the positive command that Hashem said. Your name is no longer Yaakov, it's Yisrael. And so the Gemara, no, Shani Asim, there it's different. To Hadar Ahadre Kra. That Hashem himself later, again, uses the verses to refer to him as Yaakov. Dechsev, as it says, Vayomer lehem, Vayomer lukim, the Yisrael b'maros halayla. God said to Yisrael in the visions of the night, Yomer Yaakov, Yaakov. And he said, Yaakov, Yaakov. As commentators explain, the name Yaakov is a reference to humility, and Yisrael is a little bit more of being elevated. He fought with the God and people, and succeeded. Why was Yaakov elevated? Because he stayed humble. So even after he was elevated, he's still called Yaakov. He's still the humble person. That's right. But then Hashem himself uses it again. Hashem himself calls him Yaakov. One second, just to finish the parak. Masiv Reb Yossi Reb Avin. Reb Yossi Reb Avin challenges. V'tem Reb Yossi Reb Zvita challenges. The verse says, Atu Hashem Elokim Asher Bacharta Ba'Avram. So if you say that if Hashem again uses the name, that means that the name is usable. How could Bar Kapara say that you can't use the name Avram? Now it's only Avraham, but Hashem himself does use Avram. As the verse says, you're God, the Lord, who chose Avram. Amalei, he said to me, it's not that God is referring to Avraham as Avram. God's not saying, Avraham, you're Avram. Rather, Hasam, there, Navi Yehuda Kamasad L'Shvachad Rachmana. There, the prophet is praising God. He's saying, you know, God chose the Jewish people back in the days when Avraham was called Avram. Back in the days of Avram, Hashem chose the Jewish people. But the name is not Avram, the name is Avraham. My Dahava Meikari is praising that which was initially. But really, once Hashem said, Lo Yikare Shimcha Od Avram, Ki Im Avraham, Yeshemecha, when Hashem says your name is Avraham, that means that your name should not be Avram. A person who does so is violating a mitzvah saseh. Hadran Allah, Be'ezras Hashem Yizbarach Perak Me'emasai, V'hadara Halan. Yeah, Baruch, you had a question.
No, I mean, instead of
Abraham,
if you say Avram, is that a disrespect
there, Rabbi? At this point, yes. Since God said your name is changed to Avraham, it should be changed this way. It should stay this way to Avraham.
Yaakov was changed to Israel.
Yaakov was different. No, because Hashem himself uses the name again. Hashem
brought
it back.
In these names, Hashem's adding his own name to these names, right?
Mm.
So, what's called, doesn't matter, like Sarai, he changed to Sarah, so he put his name at the end of the name. Then Avram, he put in the middle of the name. Doesn't matter where he puts the
name. Maybe. That's a nice point. Maybe it does matter. Nice. All right, we're up to the second parak. So now some of the laws. Some of the laws of Kriyat Shema. So Mishnah now teaches, do you need to have intent to fulfill the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema? Yeah. Somebody's learning Torah, he's reading Parshas V'aschanan, Yigiyaz Man HaMikra, and now he sees the day is about to dawn. So it's time to read Kriyat Shema now. Im Kiven Libo, if he directs his heart, if he has concentration, presumably we'll see the different opinions of this, but the easiest explanation is, he's saying, okay, now it's the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema time, so I'm reading for the mitzvah too, not just for reading Torah, for the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema, and Yatzah, then he fulfills his obligation. All right, let's say you're saying Kriyat Shema. Can you interrupt? All right, so the Mishnah says, Biprakim, when you're in between chapters, Shoram Lipnei HaKavod, you can interrupt to say hello to the people you're supposed to honor. Your father comes, your Rebbe comes. Umeshev, and you can respond. Somebody, your Rebbe came over to you and he said hello, you can say back hello. Uvemtza, if you're in the middle of a chapter, Shoel Mipnei Ayira, then you can interrupt and say hello and initiate greetings to those you need a fear. Rashi says it's like a king, you're afraid of what his power is. Others say this is a reference to a Torah scholar. Umeshev, and you can respond, Divrei Rabbi Meir, that's the view of Rabbi Meir. So according to Rabbi Meir, as we'll see in the Gemara, he does not distinguish between initiating and responding. And he says, between chapters, you can initiate to those you need to honor. And in the middle of a chapter, you can even initiate to those you need to fear. However, Rabbi Yehuda distinguishes between initiating and responding. So Rabbi Yehuda says like this, Be'emtza, in the middle of a chapter, Shoel Mipnei Ayira, you can initiate to those you fear. U'meshim Mipnei HaKavod, you can respond even to those you only need to honor. Be'prakim, between the chapters, Shoel Mipnei HaKavod, you can initiate to those who need to honor, Umeshev, and you can respond to a greeting, wishing peace, L'chol Adam, to every person, even someone you don't need to honor. All right, now the next law in the Mishnah. Ilin bein aprakim. This is the definition of between chapters. Bein bracha rishon l'shnia, between yotzer or and ava rabba, bein shnia l'shma, between ava rabba and shma, bein shma l'vayom shma, between the first paragraph and the second, bein vayom shma l'vayom, between the second and the third, bein vayom l'emes v'yatzim, between the third and the blessing of emes v'yatzim. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. He says, no, most of those are between chapters, but bein vayom l'emes v'yatzim lo yafsik, between vayom and emes v'yatzim, a person should not interrupt, and that is in fact the halacha. Why do we say it first Shema, then we say Vayim Shema? The answer is Kadesh Yikabal of Ol Malchus Shemayim Tchila. First, a person accepts the yoke of heaven, that God exists, he loves God, he's going to listen to God. Acher Kach Mekabal of Ol Mitzvos. Then he accepts on himself the yoke to fulfill the mitzvos. And Vayim Shema is before Vayomer, because Vayim Shema is knowing Ben Vayom within Valayla, applies to all the mitzvos, so that applies by day and by night. Whereas Vayomer is tzitzis, it's no egel balayla b'vad, only applies at night, so that is of lesser importance, and that's the last paragraph. Says the Gemara, the first part of the Mishnah was, if somebody's reading the Torah, and then it's time for Shema, if he has Kavana, he's Yotze. Shema minot, we derive from this mitzvah, Srichus Kavana, that you need to have Kavana in order to fulfill the mitzvah. So the Gemara says, maybe not. Maybe Mayim Kivin Libo Likros. What does it mean? Kivin Libo, if he had Kavana, if he was concentrating to actually read. In other words, instead of just looking it over, he's actually reading it. One second, Likros. Vakakari, he was reading it. The answer is Bekor Lagia. Maybe he's reading a Sefer Torah to try to fix it. So he's not actually verbalizing the words. And now he sees that the sun is about to rise. It's Kriyat Shema time. And he's actually up to Parsha Shema in Vaeschanan. So now he has to make a point of actually verbalizing and actually reading, but maybe he doesn't need to be thinking, I'm reading for the mitzvah. He has to be doing the mitzvah, to verbalize, to fulfill the mitzvah.
I'm not clear on what that point is.
Sure. So the Gemara had said, does this mean that you only get credit for the mitzvah if you're thinking, I'm doing this as a mitzvah, as God's command? Whereas, no, that's not the way to read Kivin Libo. Kivin Libo doesn't mean he had kavana for the mitzvah. He concentrated to actually do it, to actually read it, because he was skimming it over to find corrections. So the Mishnah is saying, if he's skimming it to find corrections, and it's time for Shema, and he makes a point of actually verbalizing each word, then he fulfills the mitzvah.
So the Havamina is he's not actually saying all the words?
No, the Havamina was he was saying all the words with the intent of a mitzvah of Hashem, and the answer is no, maybe that's the intent to actually say the words. But he doesn't actually have to have the thought of I'm doing Hashem's mitzvah, he just has to do it. And he has to make sure to actually do it. Somebody's walking by in Rosh Hashanah and he hears somebody blow shofar. He wasn't paying attention to the fact that it's Rosh Hashanah. And he says, oh yeah, I listened.
Right.
Was he Yotzi or not? That's this question. Do you need mitzvah Srichos Kavana or not?
Right. No.
So we're saying, is this a proof that mitzvah Srichos Kavana? We say, no, not necessarily. This Kavana may not be the Kavana Latzeis mitzvah Hashem. It's a Kavana to actually read it. Likros, it's a kavana to actually read the words.
Somehow in the original form, he wasn't really fully reading it.
He wasn't fully reading it, exactly. Now he's reading it.
So those chazanim here, that they read the first line and the last line, it's not acceptable.
It's not acceptable, no. You have to read it.
After it, and they skip everything, and blah, 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 blah.
That
blah,
doesn't
blah,
work.
Blah, you know,
that doesn't work. Tana Rabbanan. We learned in a braisa. Kriyat Shema Kiksava Divrei Rebbe. Rabbi says, you have to say Kriyat Shema. You have to say Kriyat Shema in Hebrew. Chacham say, no, b'chol lashon, you can say it in any language. My time at the Rabbi, why does Rabbi hold you have to say it in Hebrew? Amar Krak is the pasuk v'hayu. V'hayu advar meila. V'hayu means, and they will be. That means, b'avayas and you, they have to be this way. Rabbanan, my time, what's the reasoning of the Rabbanan? Amar Krak is the pasuk says, Shema. Shema means, b'chol lashon, shach shema, any language that you hear. The Rebbe now, the Rebbe also, Aksiv Shema, but it says Shema. He needs that to teach you another halacha. Make her to your ear what you express from your mouth. Rabbanan Savi Lehu, Rabbanan Hold, Kemad Amar, like the opinion says, you don't need to make cured that which you express from your mouth. What did the Rabbanan do with the word Vahayu? They need that you can't read Shema out of order. Rabbi Shlokel and Mafel Minali. How does Rabbi know that you can't reach Shema out of order? He uses Vahayu to say it has to be in Hebrew. He says it could have said Vahayu Dvarma Ela. Why does it say Hadvarim? The extra hey is to say it has to be in this order. V'rabbanan the Rabbanan Dvarim Hadvarim Lo Darshi. They don't interpret the fact that it should have said Dvarim. Why did it say Hadvarim? The Maimer, does this imply if Rebbe needs a pasuk to say that Shema has to be in Hebrew, to serve Rebbe, the Rebbe holds Chala Torah Kula B'chalash Onamra, the rest of the Torah can be said in any language? Because if you're going to say that everything in the Torah has to be said only in Hebrew, why do I need a pasuk of Ahayu to say it has to be in Hebrew? And so the Gemara, no, it's just Rabbi really holds all over things are in Hebrew. And here he needs a pasuk to say this has to be in Hebrew, because you have the word Shema, which you could have interpreted to mean any language that you hear. That's why you need to have Ahayu to say don't interpret it that way, but rather interpret Shema to mean you have to audibly hear it. The Memra, does this imply the Savir Rabbanan hold the Chala Torah Kula B'Lashon HaKodesh Nemra, that everything in the Torah has to be in Hebrew, and that's why they needed the verse Shema to say this can be in other languages. Because if you think that they hold it, the whole Torah can be in any language. Shema the Kasav Rachman Alamli. Why did Hashem have to say the word Shema to include all languages? It's like everything else in the Torah that can be in any language. Somebody says, no. Maybe they hold everything else can be in any language. But it's just, you need to hear the word Shema, Mishnah Vahayu, because you have the word Vahayu, and you might have interpreted the word Vahayu the way Rebbe did, that Vahayu means it has to be only in Hebrew. That's why you need the word Shema to say, no, Shema can be in any language. And what is Vahayu? Vahayu is to say it has to be in this order. It can't be read out of order. We learn from the word Vahayu, you can't read the Shema out of order. Then the words hadvarim, the words alavavecha, on your heart. What does that teach you? Maybe you'd need kavana to be concentrating on the meaning of the words throughout the reading of Shema. Tamalom, that's what it says. Ha'ela, these words. Ad kan tzricha kavana, till these words. Vayadvarim ha'ela alavavecha. Till these words, you need kavana. Mikan ve'elach, ein tzarech kavana. After this, you don't need kavana. Give Rebbe Lezer to be Rebbe Lezer. Rabbi Akiva, I'm a Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva said to Rabbi Lezer, Harei Omer, the verse says, Asher Anochi Mitzav Chayom Alavavecha, that I'm commanding you today on your heart. That sounds like everything I'm commanding you today is on your heart. Mikanat Talamit, so you see from here, Shekola Parsha Kula Tzricha Kavana. You need to have concentration on the meaning of the words for the entirety of the first paragraph. I'm a Rabbi Barachana, I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Brachana said he thinks halachas like Rabbi Akiva, you need kavana for the entire first paragraph. Now there are those that had a different version of what Rabbi Brachana said. The time we lived in a brisa, hakorei shema, someone who's reading shema, tzarech sheichavin eslibo, he has to be concentrating on the meaning of the words for all three paragraphs. However, Rav Achmi Shem Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Achmi, the son of Rabbi Yehuda, said, Kevin Shekivin Liba Perek Rishon Shuvin Etzarech. Once he has concentration in the first paragraph, he doesn't need to have concentration for the other paragraphs. I'm Rabbi Bechan Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Bechan Sani Rabbi Yochanan. Halacha is Krev Acha Sham Mishim Rabbi Yehuda, that all you need to have is concentration for the first paragraph. However, this is also not so clear. Others disagree. Tanya Yidach learned in another Braisa. It says about the Shema, Vahayu Advarim Eila, and these words should be, that tells you Vahayu, Shalikul Mafreya, that you shouldn't read it out of order. Then it says, Alavavecha, on your heart, Rebizitra Omer, Rebizitra says, Ad Kan is Kavana. Till this point, till the words Alavavecha, that's what has to be on your heart. You have to have concentration. Mikan Ve'elach, after the words, Mitzvah's Kriya. You don't need concentration, it's just a mitzvah to read it. Rebbe Yoshi said, no, Ad Kan Mitzvah's Kriya. Until here is the mitzvah to read it, Mikan Ve'elach, after this is the mitzvah of Kavana. What does that mean? Maishna mikan ve'elach mitzvah skriya. What did Rav Zutra mean when he says, from here and on is the mitzvah of reading? Because it says, you should say these words. But here too, but it says, you should say these words. It's the Gemara, Achikam. This is what it means. Adkan, until here, namely the first paragraph, mitzvah's kavana ukriya. There's the mitzvah of kavana and reading. Mikan ve'elach, after this, namely the second paragraph, there's kriya, there's only the mitzvah of reading. Below kavana, you don't need to have kavana. Umayishna adkan mitzvahs kavana ukriya. Now, why for the first paragraph do you need to have concentration and reading? Because it says alavavecha, on your heart, and it says v'dibar tabam. So v'dibar tabam is to say you should read. Alavavecha to say it has to be on your heart. You have to be concentrating. Hasam nami yoksi. But in the second paragraph, we have similar psukim. In the second paragraph, we have alavavchem, should be on your heart. L'daber bam, to speak about them. So l'daber bam should be to read, and alav avchem should mean on your heart. And Sigmar, whom you boile, that we need. Look at the Yitzchak, for Yitzchak taught Amar, who said, v'samtem es dvarai eila alav avchem, and you should put these words of mine on your heart. That means, tzricha shetehe sima kineged alev. That's another law, that when you put on the tefillin have to be opposite the heart. When you put the arm tefillin, the box has to be parallel to the heart. But not to say that you should actually say, have concentration when saying these words. Amar Mar, we just learned, Rabbi Yosha says, Atkan mitzvah kriya. Until here, namely the first paragraph, that's the mitzvah reading. Mikan ve'elach, after that is mitzvah kavana, the mitzvah of kavana. What does that mean? Maishna mikan ve'elach, why the second paragraph? Mitzvah kavana, do you say that that's the mitzvah of kavana? Because it says on your heart. Hachanami, but in the first paragraph of Ksiv Alevavecha, it says on your heart. Achikam, this is what it means. Adkan, for the first paragraph, there's mitzvah kriya v'kavana. There's the mitzvah of concentrating on the words plus reading the words. Mikan ve'elach, in the second paragraph, kavana below kriya. You could just have a thought of the words. You don't have to actually read it, even with just the thought, you're yotze. Really, according to Yosha, is that the so? U'mayishna adkan mitzvah kriya v'kavana d'chsev alevavecha. And v'nibartabam. Why did this first paragraph, do you have to have concentration and read the words? Because it says v'nibartabam. And it says alevavecha. Haslanami, but in the second paragraph, also we have similar phrases. It says, l'ksev alevavchem. It says on your hearts. That should imply kavana. And it says l'daberbam. So again, he's going to have to say that l'daberbam is not a reference to kriyat shema. It's a reference to something else. The same way Rabbi Zutra said that Alev Avchem is a reference to Tefillin. He's going to say, Rav Yoshe is going to say that V'dibar Tabam is not a reference to Kriyat Shema, but rather, or L'daber Bam is not a reference to Kriyat Shema, it's a reference to Talmud Torah, to studying Torah. That verse, L'daber Bam, V'divrei Torah Ksev, is teaching about how to learn Torah, V'achikam Rachman, is what Hashem is saying. Teach these to your children, that your children should keep talking about them, that the children should keep talking about Torah. Teach your children so much Torah, so that they are constantly reviewing it and saying it, that they are always talking about it.
So Rabbi, the left is that they put the tefillin on the right hand.
No, you put the tefillin on the left, next to your heart.
Okay.
Oh, a lefty puts it on his right hand, yes.
On the right hand. But the tefillin is right next to the heart now.
That's right, it's true, because there's another verse. The verse says, Yadcha, which implies Yad Keo, we can't.
Yeah.
And that's more important than the idea of being near the heart.
So that is more important than near the heart.
Yeah. Or be a lefty.
Tana Rabbanim Lundin Abraisa. Again, discussing the issue of Kavana. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. The first pasuk. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Ad kan tzricha kavana salev div Rabbi Meir. According to Rabbi Meir, you don't need kavana for all three paragraphs. You don't need kavana for just the first paragraph. You only need kavana for the first pasuk.
So that's
Amar Rava. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. You have to have concentration for that pasuk till the end of the word Echad. After that, you can just say the words mechanically. Amar Rava, Rava said, Halacha, it's Rabbi Meir. Halacha is like Rabbi Meir. No, understand the words. You have to understand the words for the first sentence. Yeah, what's the question? Yes, but that's included in that first sentence. Hashem Elokeinu is Kabbalat Ol Malchut Shamayim.
Somebody who is reciting the Shema, where he can interrupt to say Shalom Aleichem to his rabbi?
That we saw, that's an argument between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, between paragraphs or in the middle of a paragraph. We pass like Rabbi Yehuda, between paragraphs. He can interrupt for honor, and he can respond to anyone. In the middle of a paragraph, he can interrupt for fear, and he can respond to those he needs to honor.
Middle of the paragraph is Bisharecha, and then
starts,
right? You could interrupt right there.
Right before Vahaya.
And then Leman,
Vayom, right before the word Vayom.
Those
are between the paragraphs.
Yeah.
So again, going back to the issue of Kavana. So we said that according to Rabbi Meir, you need Kavana just for the first pasuk. Tanu Adin Abraisa, Sumchus Omer, Sumchus teaches, Kalamarech Be'echad, anyone who extends the word Echad, there's a lot of concentration, and he elongates it. Ma'arichin lo yamam v'shana, will merit to have length of days and years. Amar Rav Acha bar Yaakov, what does that mean to elongate the echad? To elongate the dalet, not to elongate the ches. Amar Rav Ashi said, no, when you're elongating the dalet, echad, You can't grab, you can't rush through the ches. Rabbi Yirmiyahu Yosef Kamid Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba. Rabbi Yirmiyahu was sitting in front of Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba. Chazid Ava Marach Tuva. You saw that he was really extending that sentence a lot. Amalei said to him, Kevin Dam Lichte Lamaila Lamaila. Once you've made God the king, you've accepted. He's the king above. He's the king below. Ul Abba Ruchas Hashemayim to the four sides of the world. Tulo Tzriches. You don't need any more. Amar Rav Nas. You can move on to the next pasuk. Amar Rav Nas son Bar Min Yumi. I'm sorry. Amar Rav Nas son Bar Mar Ukfer. Rav Nas the son of Mar Ukfer said, Amar Rav Yehuda in the name of Rav Yehuda. We learned earlier, according to Beis Hillel, you can say Shema when walking around. You can say Shema when laying down. It doesn't have to be Bekumecha when you're standing. But nevertheless, he said the pasuk of Alev Avecha, that has to be Ba'amida. That has to be while standing up. So one second. That pasuk Alev Avecha Salgadaitach. So according to him, he holds that you have to have kavanah like Rabbi Elazar held till the pasuk of Alev Avecha. So therefore, ad Alev Avecha until the pasuk of Alev Avecha, Ba'amida, you have to be standing up. You can't be walking around and saying it because then you can't concentrate. You have to stand straight, erect, and concentrate. You can't make a chlo, but afterwards you can be walking around. Rabbi Yochanan says kol parasha kula Ba'amida. The whole first paragraph has to be said while standing straight because you have to concentrate for the whole first paragraph. As Rabbi Yochanan l'tamei that Rabbi Yochanan consistently tam Rabbi Baruchanan Rabbi Yochanan alach krevach mishum Rabbi Yehuda because Rabbi Yochanan holds that the halach is you need to have concentration for the whole first paragraph. Again, Rabbi Meir holds you don't even need that. Rabbi Meir holds you only need to have concentration for the first pasuk. Tam Rabbanu l'dina braisa. Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, the author of the Mishnayos, he was someone whose Torah so umnuso. His whole life was Torah. He was constantly learning Torah. So he's somebody, as the Gemara will say in Masechta Shabbos, he's exempt from saying the full Shema. But he still would say one pasuk. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. That was the Kriyat Shema of Rabbi Yehuda Anasi. That's all he said. He would say that one pasuk. The first pasuk. Amalei Rav, Rav Chiya. Rav once sent to Rav Chiya. Lo chazina lili Rebbe de makabel of Malchus Shemayim. You know, Rebbe starts teaching before sunrise and he keeps on going until like 12 o'clock. I never see him saying Shema. When is he makabel on himself, the yoke of heaven? Amalei, he said to him, Bar Paxi, son of the great ones, B'sha Shema v'yad of Alpanav. In the middle of the shir, he goes like this for 20 seconds. That's when he's saying Shema, because he's only saying that first pasuk. He's just saying Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. At that moment, he's makabel olav ol malchut shemayim. He's accepting on himself the yoke of heaven.
Like me too, Rabbi. Didn't we learn yesterday or 2 days ago that if you're tavered, I mean, if you're involved in another mitzvah,
Maybe Talmud Torah is different, because the whole point of Torah is to teach us what to do. So Talmud Torah maybe doesn't have the rule of osik b'mitzvah patur mina mitzvah. So now Rabbi, after he finished his shir, which was way after the time of Kriyat Shema, it's 12 o'clock in the afternoon, does he then go back and actually read the other paragraph so that he'll have the mitzvah of mentioning leaving Egypt? So Bar Kapara Omer Eino Chozer V'Gomer, he wouldn't go back. And Rav Shimba Rebbe Omer Chozer V'Gomer, he would go back and complete all the other paragraphs. Emily Bar Kapara, Rav Shimba Rebbe, Bar Kapara said to Rav Shimba, the son of Rebbe, Bishmul Didi Damine Eino Chozer V'Gomer, what I'm saying makes sense because I say he doesn't go back and add to the other, read the other paragraphs. And that was, perhaps that would explain why. The Mahad Rebbe Yashvai did this, but it's yes, but time. Rebbe would always make a point of trying to say or to teach a Torah lesson that mentions leaving Egypt. El Didach, but according to you, Damar to Chozer V'Gomer, you're saying that he goes back and he rereads whatever had to be read. So why, when he was teaching his classes, would he try to bring up something about leaving Egypt? So he said, I'll tell you why. They'll ask you, Tzias Mitzrayim Bezmana, to mention leaving Egypt at the right time in the morning. Amar Rav Ila, Beredi, Rav Shmuel Bar Marta, Mishmei Rav, Rav Ila, the son of Rav Shmuel Bar Marta, the name of Rav. Amar Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, if he says that first pasuk, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, and he's concentrating on the meaning of the words, and then he falls asleep, Yatzis Yotzei, because the obligation is to have kavanah for those words. Amalei Rav Nachman L'Dor Rav, Rav Nachman used to tell Toru his slave, Pipsuka Kama Tzaren, that first pasuk afflict us, make sure that we're awake. Tvelo Tzaren, but after the first pasuk more, don't afflict us to make sure we're awake. Amalei Rav Yosef, Le'er Rav Yosef, Bredi Rabba. Rav Yosef said to Rav Yosef, the son of Rabba, Avucha, Eichav Avid. What would your father do in terms of Kavana? Amalei, you tell him, Pipsuka Kama Avukama Tzaren Navshe. That first verse, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, he would afflict himself to make sure he was awake for it. Tfeilav Mitzar Nafshe, more he wouldn't afflict himself. Amar Rav Yosef, Yosef said, Praktan, a person who's laying down on his back. So that's not so respectful, because when a person lays down on his back, his male member might be elevated. So lo yikra Kriyat Shema, you shouldn't read Kriyat Shema, that's not a posture of respect to accept the yoke of heaven. So Gemara said, one second, Vikri Dula Likri, it's just that he can't read Kriyat Shema when he's laying down on his back? Hamikneh Shapir Dami, but he's allowed to lay down on his back and go to sleep like that. I Omer Yeshua ben Levi, Yeshua ben Levi would be liet, used to curse Amad Agoni Aparkit for the person who lays down on his back, because it's disrespectful. The male member might be raised. It might be erect. Amri, they answered, Migna Kimasi Shapir Dami. In regards to sleeping, he can tilt over a little bit to the side. But Mikra, in regards to reading Shema Afagav Damatzi, even if he tilts over, Nami Yasser, it's still not allowed because it's not a respectful posture. It's a sign of being too relaxed. Ask the Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan Matzi Vikar. But we know that Rabbi Yochanan used to tilt over and read Shema, even though he was basically on his back. So the Gemara says, no, Shani Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan was different. The Baal Basar Hava, he was very fat. So since he was very, very overweight, he was zaftig. So since he was overweight, it was hard for him to sit up. So when he tilted over to the side, that was already okay to enable him to reach Shema.